That's the sound of my door, if you don't know what that is. Welcome to the Wicked Wardrobe. This week, I'm having a chat with Asterion Audio. Is your full username, am I right? I am, aren't I? Yes, welcome. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
Yeah, I'm very well. I'm on a roll today. It's Sunday, and yeah, I've been up for a wee while, and having a chat with some lovely content creators and contributors to the Naughty Audio space. So thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Can you tell people what you are, who you are, where you are? No, we don't need the where. That's fine. But just who you are and how you contribute to this erotic audio and non-erotic audio space.
Okay, well, I guess I first started, as most people do, as a consumer of the audio. You know, I got really into ASMR, and I guess the sort of natural progression from that is to say, you know, oh, what's this and what's that? And then, you know, the amount of risque sort of ASMR space audios kind of bleeds naturally into the whole erotic community as well.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, like a lot of people who are safe for work ASMR artists also, I don't know if they moonlight as not safe for work artists or if they're not safe for work artists who branch out into safe for work stuff to expand their brands. But
Interesting.
So yeah, in a technical background though, I did receive schooling in a lot of media journalism training. And so like I had an editing, pretty strong editing background and performing background, albeit for a different type of content.
Right.
But at least for editing, a lot of the same skills transfer over. Right. So a personal acquaintance of mine had also gotten into the space and she mentioned, you know, I have trouble with editing and I've got to pay other people to edit. And I was like, well, heck, I could do that for you.
Yeah.
And then so that's where I sort of started, was doing editing for one person. And then just through Reddit, all of, you know, her audios started popping up with my name appended to them.
Okay.
And then someone else reached out to me and said, hey, I don't know if you are available. Can you take my editing projects? And I was like, sure. And then from there, they added me to a Discord server where there were even more creators. And I introduced myself there as an editor and, you know, just sort of snowballed from there. And I found myself in the community and I was like, oh, well, that was
okay. This is happening.
How did that happen?
Yeah. Is it something that you wanted to expand on, or were you just sort of gaining further experience or applying the experience that you had in a way to sort of contribute?
I mean, you know what? I didn't sort of set out to do that, but I find myself really liking the whole space. And there was a sort of creativeness, creativity in doing this sort of, you know, I want to say fictionalized, but like, you know, because my background was in journalism, journalist pursuits that I really liked more than, you know, where I had found myself after school. And I was like, you know what,
right,
let's see if we can't make this a career, you know?
Right. Okay. So you're really, for those of you who are listening, I met Asterion, I want to say maybe over a year ago now. Gosh,
just about.
Because I needed some help, and I think I posted on perhaps even in that particular server we were in together, I'm not sure, sort of reached out, and I was one of those, because I had no clue. I still don't really have a clue. I'm kind of winging it still. But you know, I'm getting there. So you are essentially an editor in the space, but I do believe you have also recorded some voice content as well, and post and share that.
I mean, I'm sort of a jack of all trades. You know, I can write, I can edit, I can speak. So again, that's a lot to do with my background. I guess the space really called for, you know, dedicated editors. So I guess that's where I found my my niche, but niche.
Yeah.
depending on where you're listening from.
So that's really what you sort of focus on now, and maybe just dabble in recording yourself from time to time. Would that be right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So with regards to that, so Asterion had edited a piece for me, which was, like I said, not quite a year ago now. And we had... I picked up a few things from you, and I find editors in this space are probably, I would say, even less recognized than script writers, unfortunately. You know, we're doing our very best as VAs. Again, I use that term very loosely with myself. It's just I moan into a mic. But for those other people involved in the process, that not all you yourself can do all three sort of factors of that to create content. I rely heavily on scripts. So script writers, God bless you. Blessed are the script writers, but also blessed are the editors, because I don't edit. But when I have been involved with projects, collaborative projects with Asterion, I'm absolutely amazed at how you make these things happen and how the immersive experience that you create. And so now you're sort of leaning more towards that, like on a day-to-day basis. Is this something that you're sort of quite focused on now?
I mean, yeah, it's supply and demand, right?
Sure.
The demand is high for editors. So I find myself setting that up, and I suppose it's just something that I'm good at, and it's something that I do quite enjoy doing as well.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people can edit, but they sort of see it like, oh, editing. So, you know, I'm really more of a edited for pay, and then I'll do my own passion projects with this.
Okay. So is this something you're engaging in sort of on a full-time basis?
I'm trying to, yeah. I'm trying to get that that going.
That's exciting.
I mean, there's nothing I find, you know, it's like if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it, right? And I'm sure this is true for all script writers and editors as well. There's just something so fulfilling about, you know, having somebody who has this sort of burgeoning talent or whatnot, and they're just like, I'm not sure where to start. And then saying, you know, hey, I can take care of all the nitty gritty. You just, you know, moan your heart out into that mic.
And then
setting it up for them, and then getting them, you know, up and going. And I mean, it's totally, I'd want to call editors superfluous, but it's something that's like, you know, if I could, I would put myself out of business. I would teach everyone how to edit, you know, just basically their own scripts, because, you know, there's what I love most is self-actualization, you know, and I'd hate to see somebody, you know, say, well, I want to do this, but I don't know the technical bits, so I'm just not going to do it. Which is why I take, you know, free projects sometimes.
But the time more consuming, established, right?
Well, it depends. It's largely dependent on what you want out of your project. I know a lot of people just do sort of like ramble fap stuff, or very simple, you know, less, I don't want to say less professional, but less less produced stuff. Like if it's just one voice in one room, very intimate, you don't really need an editor. I mean, you could learn basic touch-up techniques, but some people want to take it that step further. They want to have, you know, like a sort of spectacle, a more produced, like a sound design. And if you're not really sure, not really comfortable with your own expertise, that's where, you know, editors like me would be more than happy to come in and help.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen over my sort of year as a contributor, the difference between, as somebody who largely doesn't edit, and everyone who's listened to me knows I bang on about cold reading and one take. But I've seen, and a lot of that is to do with being lazy, people. But in the few things that I have picked up over the past year, I see it, they're just small techniques, small, you know, applications of within your recording program, whatever you use, that really do make quite a difference, and I'm comfortable with that. The one of the very first things I learned was from you, and I think I mentioned it in an AMA, and yeah, it saved me a lot of time and a lot of energy, because you know I'd be halfway through a recording and the dog would bark. I'm like, oh, I gotta start again, you know, because I didn't have the knowledge. Because to be honest, as a new VA, I just found it all very, very overwhelming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So your ability, and I think I jumped into a couple of live streams that you were doing in that particular server, and learnt, you know, learn a hell of a lot in a short period of time. So it is achievable. But when we move on to something like you said, that you know, if you're wanting to create a full sound design and you know just go that next level, using your skills is, yeah, it's beyond my pay grade, to be honest, where there is no pay grade. But it's beyond what I'm prepared to put into it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. It's what it is. There's a bit of a leap, like with anything, you know, like a sort of a cost, an investment cost, maybe with money, maybe with time. But you know, like just even having a subscription to a sound effects library or catalog that is paid, but with the paying, you're licensed to use it for, you know, profitable stuff. That's even that is, you know, easier for one person to have than, you know, like a million people. So like one person will use that a lot more. Like if I work on 10 different people's things using that same library, it's, you know, better than those 10 people just, you know, sort of looking for free sound effects, or perhaps stumbling upon sound effects that are, I don't know, copyrighted, and then getting their content struck down.
Very true. And even just knowing that, hang on, you can't necessarily just use something without
free, but you just have to give it attribution at the bottom. But I mean, it's like, you know, it's depends on what you're comfortable with and what you're comfortable asking for and paying for, you know, like some of the biggest VAs, they have like dedicated editors who are basically on retainer. And it's like every time that VA produces something, they send the file to their editor that they work closely with. And then they have a kind of, you know, a feel for how they both work. So they'll just get, the editor will get the file. They'll do exactly what they know the VA wants and send it back. The VA publishes it to Patreon or what have you. And some of that revenue from the patrons obviously goes to the editor, because they're, you know, always available 24/7 on retainer for that VA.
I've seen that model work really successfully, and I think it's an investment back into, like, as someone who has a Patreon now, whilst I say on my publicly available stuff, whether it be on Reddit or elsewhere, that it's, you know, it's one take raw, no editing for paid content behind paywalls, whether they be, you know, the websites that I commission to for my original content or for my Patreon. I believe people who are paying really should get the best that I can give them, and that involves, you know, having some of, or either I edit it, or I have connections with a couple of editors who do that for me, and that is an investment in that, to create the quality and produce a quality that is, you know, that subscribers are paying for. And I get that's not the same for everybody, but that seems to work with me. So in engaging on it, almost like a semi-professional, well, we throw this word around, Astira and I were just throwing this word around prior to starting recording, professional, because this is so not professional. I that's not me, but I enjoy it, and it's my own desire, my own drive to produce the best quality I can. So if that involves paying a scriptwriter or paying an editor, then so be it. I think it's a worthy investment for those people who support me. So with regards to your where are you at in your process of, you know, establishing yourself as a, you know, and I don't want to use the word professional, but I think I need to just to distinguish between, you know, you,
well,
as doing,
it's your
taking
profession,
on free projects.
Right? So as long as you
Yeah.
You're making money off of it. You're technically a professional.
Yeah. So that, where are you at in that process? Are you sort of setting that up still, or what's happening?
So I've got a sort of a private subreddit, not subreddit. I've got a public Reddit accounts, but I've got a private Discord sort of set up. It's largely word of mouth right now.
Sure.
I have a Ko-fi set up, and I kind of, you know, do my networking through Discord and Reddit.
Yeah.
And basically when I take on a project, you know, I'll settle for a quote. And then when I deliver the work, I get the payment from the person via PayPal and Ko-fi.
Okay. All right.
So not yet at the Patreon stage, but it's almost like I'm a producer for other producers, right? So it's not the same model as one would have when you're producing for the public, for common consumers.
Sure.
Hopefully this will be good publicity, word of mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Asterion, you/ Asterion Audio and you/ Asterion After Dark are my Reddit handles. I just sort of separate the safe for work and not safe for work bits.
Oh, okay. Brilliant.
Yeah. I know there's some trouble with your video immediately getting demonetized if you link to a not safe for work Reddit account or something on YouTube.
Yes.
So I figured it's best to keep the peas and porridge separate, right?
Oh, I like that term. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
So for now, word of mouth. I mean, if someone was really interested, they would contact me and I would add them to the Discord server where we would sort of hash out the details.
Great.
And then, you know, you just send me your audio, send me what you want. I do it. Normally what I do is I send a lower quality MP3 file.
Yeah.
See, you know, is this good? Is everything okay? And if they like how it sounds, then I'll render it in a higher quality .wav file and send that to them for posting to whatever platform. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, that I'll put all of this in the post, your links. But I'm excited for you to see where this is going, because as somebody who edited something, my very first, that particular audio was very personal to me, and a response to a friend of mine, and I was so nervous about sort of handing it over to you and thinking, well, what's going to happen? I had literally spoken to my phone, and somehow you made magic happen. And I was forever grateful that I was then able to forward that on to them. And it was a bit of a full circle moment for me. But I'm so pleased to see that you've come this far. I know we've worked together on other projects since then, but I'm excited for you, Asterion, and I think that's, and rightly so, because like when I get back to acknowledging and the other creators, the other contributors in this space, script writers and editors, they just don't get nearly enough recognition for the work that they do. But I guess we're trying to raise awareness that some of this stuff doesn't happen without your contributions.
It helps when you have, you know, someone who's just dedicated to it, and then they can see sort of the big picture stuff. One of the things I like to joke about is that, editing an editor's work is like, you know, the air quality or the taste of water, right? You only notice it when it's gone bad.
Oh, very true.
And the sign of a good editor is that you don't even aware that there's any editing going on, right?
Yes. I like that, actually. You're very right. I know you're quite fastidious with your approach, which, again, I appreciate. Other editors I've worked with on audios would say, what do you think about this? I'm like, I don't notice any difference between that and the last one you sent me.
I mean,
but
yeah,
I'm not as refined in my listening.
It definitely takes an ear. You know, it's something that anyone, I believe, can develop. It's just practice. But I mean, you know, we all have lives, right? A lot of people just do this sort of on the side and they go work a day job. So it's you know, you just want to go home and do something you like, something you're passionate about, but then nobody wants to do work, right?
Right.
And so to some people, editing is like, ah, it's work. And that's why you You pay someone else to do it.
Absolutely. I'm starting to, you'll be so proud of me, Esther, and I actually edited a collaborative piece and I was kind of super proud of myself. Don't know if I'll do it again because good Lord, it probably took me, four times as long as it would take you,
Oh,
if
yeah.
not more. But one thing I have noticed, the move away from, people recording their individual parts and sending them to you. I know that you've done that. We've done that on a couple of 4F for M projects, which I don't know how you did it, but you did it and you came through again and again and again on those projects. But the change that I've seen in this move to live recording, my God, I don't know if I could. I'm about to learn because I'm editing a 5FM piece and only three or two were able to make the live record. So there's three other lines, sets of dialogue I need to.
Yeah.
I might be giving you a call. But I'm going to have a go. And yeah, I'm not a masochist, but yeah, I may be reaching out to
Oh
my
yeah.
editor
Oh,
friend.
it definitely is a paradigm shift. Like I edited one that was done live and it was just like, oh my God, it's like night and day. It's
Yeah, it really is.
just and one of the things I always try to do is have like a best practices spiel, like a little brochure or list that I'm sort of constantly adding to. And a lot of this stuff I try and share with as many people. You know, it's like these aren't trade secrets. I mean, if I can give you a little piece of advice that will make your recording process that much easier for you to edit or for anyone else to edit for that matter, by all means. And
Share.
so it's like it's something I feel like all VAs would sort of get a bit of it's always good to see how the process works, you know, so that
Absolutely.
you know from your end what is going to be happening on the other end, so you can sort of make that
Work with
little bit
that in
of
mind.
exactly an ounce of prevention, right, is worth a pound of cure.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you can just, the one too many popping plosive sounds, right, just turn your mic at 45 degrees from your mouth and that solves like
Simple.
90% of the problem.
And until someone explains that to you,
Yeah, you just
you
wouldn't be
don't know what
aware.
you don't know, and you're unaware of that sort of thing. And for those of you who are might be listening, who are VAs, who may not listen to themselves, like I don't, I try not to. I've had to recently, but I was completely unaware of that at one point, and you said that to me because I think I'd sent you something, and he was just like, "Hey, just tilt your phone 45 degrees that way," and immediately, 1,000% better than what it was.
It's
But
like
something simple.
it's what the people that make pop filters don't want you to know.
Well, and also in doing that recent collab edit, again, a fairly new creator was on board, and I had forgotten the 45 degree tip, so I just went, just go get a pop filter or just put some nylons over a coat hanger and just because yes, I had to go through and edit plosives and that sort of thing. And even learning that, I reached out to an editor friend and she went, oh, how do I deal with this? But then YouTube YouTube makes a but it's investing the time and having the time and
Yeah,
the energy
exactly.
and the drive and the want to do it
Exactly.
because, like you said, you don't want it to be work, essentially.
Yeah,
This is a labor of love for
we're
me and
doing this
it's,
for fun, yeah.
just keep that. I guess that's, I always ask people in these chats, just, what is your motivation for doing that, this or contributing to this space? What is it for you? Because obviously part of it is passing on, is paying it forward, these tips that you very generously share, but even me personally have made a significant difference to, first of all, my own approach to, doing noise reduction and leaving space at the beginning of my recording and just really basic things that make such a difference. You're very good at sharing your knowledge of those small things that can make a big difference. So that motivates you, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. I mean, I guess I'm a very I don't mean to toot my own horn. I'm a very, a very generous person, you know, and I'm super humble too. But helping people is definitely a draw, but, you know, it's its own sort of magic. I mean, I guess if you've never done any sort of full scale editing, it may not make sense to you, but like creating something, like just taking the voice of the actor and putting all the other bits and bobs and making like a soundscape out of it. And even like sometimes I'll have a particularly tricky like audio flub that I need to correct, and I manage to erase that thing or stitch together two different parts and make it seamless. And it's like, oh, this is just like a little moment. It's 1 second of a, you know, 30 minute audio.
Yes.
But you'll hear like, it.
You'll know
exactly when I listen to other people's content. Again, it's like I said, I've got an ear for it. I can always tell, like, you know, it's maybe I'm just neurotic or fastidious, but you know, it's like, or maybe it's just because I know how the sausage is made, you know? So it's like, oh, there was a clip, you know, or, there was a part where they cut they cut something out and stitched it back together. I heard it, it wasn't seamless. So making something seamless, it's just like a little, you know,
it's a challenge, but there must
it's
be
a challenge. Yeah, exactly. And then, and surmounting that gives you that little, you know, hit of adrenaline.
Oh,
you got to be an editor to really love that kind of stuff, right?
Like that sort of immense satisfaction that you get out. Go on.
Polishing something, you know, it's like being a sculptor or something, looking at the finished product and saying, you know, this was not here before I came in. This is something that I'm responsible for, you know? So
and I guess you've made it the best you can, and and being proud of that, it must be immensely satisfying to see that those posts go out, or to hear the final, or to get the feedback even from the VAs that you do edit for. The larger collabs that we've done together, I'm just like, he did what? How did he, what, you know, it just blows my mind, the technical aspect of it all. And but for you to be able to do that, but also to really enjoy it and be passionate about it and in creating something. So I just, you know, on behalf of everybody who's ever worked with you, particularly in the collaborative space, thank you. You're kind of freaking amazing. Problem. And I'm really glad that you're moving into this in a professional way and offering your services, because I do think you need to be remunerated for your time, your energy and your knowledge and experience. So I'm excited to see where this goes for you. So the links will be in the post. Stieron, I wanted to ask about sound effects. You just touched on that briefly. I do not subscribe to SFX libraries or anything like that. I am just using, for the few times that I have edited, using free sound and a few other places that I collect from. But I wonder, has there ever been a sound effect that you couldn't generate or source in audios? And if so, how did you overcome that?
So it is definitely, you see a bit of patterns, you know, the more common ones are like footsteps, open a door, close a door. God, how many times I have had to add those in, or it's like clothes, you know, quote unquote clothes taken off SFX.
The belt is, and the zipper, that I have a Pavlovian response to that, as many do.
it always reminds me of that scene in, I don't know if anybody watches the Office, the US version, where, I don't know, it's Michael Scott on a conference call. And the guy asks, you know, is Jim there? And Jim is sitting across from him and he goes, no, he's not. And then the guy on the phone says, well, call him in. And so there's this moment where like, he's already in the room. So, you know, Steve Carell just kind of like knocks on his desk with his fist, like, hello, Jim, you know,
I've not seen it. Okay.
But look it up. But that's what it makes me feel like sometimes, like, is this really, I'm digressing here, but anyway, well, there's a whole profession in movies and television business called Foley artists.
Yes. Yeah.
And these people, for those of you that don't know, are the people who make sound effects professionally for a living. They're like in a, you know, if you've ever seen them, they're in this like concrete room that's soundproof, and they've got a big television screen where they see basically what's going on with no sound coming out of it. And so they've got like a whole shoe rack full of different kinds of shoes. And like, there's a section of the floor that's just tiles and a section that's like a little patch of gravel and a section that's wooden floor. And they'll like get down on their hands and knees with shoes on their hands and match the footsteps that they see on the
screen.
On the screen, exactly. Yeah, or, you know, for more zany or cartoony films, they'll like try and find a way to make a sound. So if it's like some sort of goopy sloshing noises, sometimes they'll take a rag that's soaked in water and like splat it in a bowl.
Yeah.
Or if it's sort of like a robotic tinny walking noise, they'll take two soup cans and like sort of bang them on the floor as footsteps.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, sometimes there are, not often, because these sort of sound repositories are pretty comprehensive nowadays, but you know, sometimes there are sound effects that are perhaps a bit too intimate or that are just a pain in the butt to find. I'll Foley it myself. I've got a mic. I'll get what I need that I think, or sometimes it's the stuff generator that I've done in the past that I know will work. And that's another sort of whole different creative sphere of the sound design, right? Or I'll use a sound effect that's already in a digital library, but I'll edit it somehow. I'll change it with, you know, changing its pitch or adding some sort of digital, digital modulation to make it sound a little better or to match what the person wants. I think I remember one time I had to do like a magical portal opening, you know? So I layered like a couple of different sounds that I had and like a whoosh sound coupled with some sort of like sparkling sound and
you know,
all together it made this sort of like, you know, cosmic rift effect.
that's amazing. I know in talking with another editor a while ago, I should know off the top of my head, but we were discussing, actually I don't even know if it was an editor, but I had seen a post go up on Gone Wild Audio of that required, I think the tag was underwater blowjob. Immediately I was like, you're what? First of all, how is that? Are you gonna? And I was thinking, do I get in the pool and blow bubbles or what? What do I do?
Get a GoPro. Yeah, that's waterproof and record from underwater.
Just, how on earth? Yeah, there's I don't know. I still don't know. I probably should look that one up to see if there was an actual sound effect relating to that. Because, yeah, I mean, if you're under the water and you're... Yeah, no, I'm thinking about it too much. let's move on. But, yeah, no, I find that's really interesting. Anything I do, if it's sort of a body sounds, it's just... me and body sounds. But even as an ex music teacher, I was always in the percussion section. I was always, the kids were always amazed with the whip sound, the cracking of a whip being two pieces of timber slapped together. And I was just like, yeah, that's and when you hear it in an orchestra, it's exactly that. It's two pieces of timber being smacked together. I just think there are many creative ways, aren't there?
Yeah, or the big sheet metal that's like the thunder sheet, right?
Yes, very, very much so. I was about to reference someone who plays a wobble board, but I won't. if you know, you know, and you know why I won't reference them. I find that's really interesting. Do people in your real life, friends and family, are they aware of what you do, and more specifically the realm in which you're operating these days?
Well, like I said, it was sort of my background in school, so a lot of people know that I've got editing skills, and I've not done too much in sort of like the public sector with that stuff. But, you know, I do have my own safer work, of course, catalog of stuff that I do, like I recorded a bunch of poems or, you know, little audio role plays, etc. that I'm comfortable sharing. But It's not so much that I would feel stigmatized for people knowing that I edit not safe for work stuff, mm-hmm. because I really, you know, I'm not one of those people that would get, you know, super embarrassed. I guess a bit of it is it's different for an editor versus an actual voice artist.
Sure.
It's less personal when you're just an editor, because you can always fall back on, hey, you know, work is work, right?
Yeah.
You know,
you're not choosing the content, are you?
Exactly. You never think about cameramen who film porn films, right?
Yeah, true. True.
Adult video.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's like, it's not really any of your business, right? Paid content, paid editing, whether it's safe for work or not safe for work, that's fine, but I'm not going to go, you know, bring it up over dinner. So guess what kind of blowjob I stitched together today?
Exactly. And guess what? There were four of them going on at the same time.
Oh, yeah. you know, I mean, and a lot of that is the skills are kind of, they're transferable, right? So it's like, I don't know if I would put it on a CV, but, you know, I could definitely say, you know, yeah, I'm experienced with cutting together four separate voices and making it sound natural, like a natural scene.
Yeah. And I think even more so when we were recording independent tracks and you then making that believable as though we were all in the space together at the same time.
It's a lot of it is just, it's like, it's, it just becomes second nature. Like, mm-hmm. determining how long a pause should be between people talking when they're not actually in the same room, right? It's like, I have an ear for it, so it's like, if it's too short or too long, I'll notice it. But if it's that sort of Goldilocks, you know, just right distance, then it's seamless. It's like,
it is that we're in the same
room. Going back to some of your previous questions, it's like making it so that the editing is invisible is kind of a sign of the job well done. It's mm-hmm. preserving that suspension of disbelief in the listener and letting them immerse themselves completely in it, that any editor, safe for work or otherwise, sort of strives for, you know, audio dramas specifically, Foley artists. It's mm-hmm. like, I'd like to imagine, you know, someone watching a movie that they've done work on and then hearing somebody from behind them going, oh, I never realized, or I never knew that that was that. And then that person kind of getting like a, you know, a quiet smile to themselves.
I did
like,
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't realize. That's exactly what I was after. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I used to work at Warner Brothers Studios and part of, I was there as a presenter, but part of that was doing backstage tours, and I used to love working in the Foley section of that and just bringing tours through and explaining to them how it happens. And yes, we had the big screen. I also really liked working there because it was air conditioned, you know, Australia. but they're seeing the looks on people's faces when they hear, because there are points in that particular tour where we'd make them sort of close their eyes and guess. And so that, you know, I want to say technicians, I don't think we called them that, but at the time, the people creating the sounds, they had to guess what they were using. And, you know, then obviously open their eyes and all would be revealed, but just getting that behind the scenes and not even realizing that actually they didn't record those people walking through, you know, over gravel. That was put in after. It's all post-production stuff. So yeah, really, really fascinating. Has there ever been a project, you know, sort of presented to you where you've just gone, oh, I don't know, that you've had to sort of reach out and to other editors or get advice on?
Not as such. I'm kind of one of those people that'll, you know, suffer in silence.
Yeah,
like I'll just bang my head against the problem until the problem breaks. Like,
not your head.
You know, sometimes I do come up with situations where it's like, uh-oh, how do I fix this or how do I do this, and it's out of my wheelhouse, and I'll this is where, you know, Google Foo comes into play, you know, and that a skill that anyone could benefit from. It's just like trawling these, you know, like second page, third page, eighth page of the results, being like forums, being like, does anyone have this problem? Has anyone solved this? A lot of that comes from there.
Okay.
But of course, I do know a couple of editors from the server that, yeah, you know, I can sort of drop a message to and be like, hey, have you ever done this? Or do you know how to handle this? And they'll definitely, if you've got somebody with the know-how, it'll just save you so much time and doing
Yeah, because like you said, you can sort of trawl down through 8-10 Google search pages, but you know, or you could ask a simple question, and I'm going to say 9 times out of 10 someone else is going to have had that same issue and be able to save you maybe 3 or 4 hours of your life,
you know, if you're not a part of those forums, you know, like
because
every post in a forum is somebody who's had the same problem being like
I guess for me though, in asking sort of when I first started out, and I didn't even know what to ask you how to do it. You do you know what I mean? I didn't even, I don't know the terms or the, she's like, I want to make it sound from one side to the other. What's that? Oh, it's called panning. Okay. All right. Well, how do I do that? And even knowing what to look for as a non-editor, and what to search for, but it's much easier just to sort of, you know, Asterio and I are on a similar collaboration server, and I'm really heartened to see VAs reaching out to the editors in that space and just saying, "Hey, I've done this, but I how do I overcome that? I don't know what to do."
Trust me.
Yeah,
it's like, and a lot of editors will just freely tell you because they know what it's like to have to clean up when the mistake is made or what have you. And it's 10 times harder to do it in post-production than to do it when you're recording. So you know, my goal is for everyone to sort of get up to the same baseline, to have this information freely available. So that
is, if very nothing else, you, if, yeah.
Oh, it's purely selfish because one day someone might, exactly, someone might come up to me and be like, hey, can you edit this? I'm like, sure. And then they like, you know, oh, by the way, I saw your recommendations and I took them all. And there'd just be like this little, you know, selfish kind of, yes.
I love it. Yeah, you're right. You're making your own potential,
right?
Space a little bit easier, maybe a lot easier. Like something as simple as move that mic 45 degrees and you'll be good. I'm still sort of I muck around in Audacity. I'm looking at Reaper at the moment. I don't know. And how far do I want to go with it? And that's when I really do rely on the expertise. And I think between us all, we must have an incredible pool of knowledge. And so being able to connect with other creators in the community in terms of our production and what we contribute, to have that resource available it's invaluable. And it's not something that I ever anticipated. I don't know about you, but the community aspect of it, I was just like, I'm just going to moan into my phone and post it and just, you know, and then it's done, it's out there. But over the time, I've moved into the space where I need it to be the best quality that I can produce. Mm-hmm. So you sharing really does set a lot of us up in good stead. And like you said, may make your job easier in time. I really appreciate that you're sharing that. Is there anything that, I mean, aside from now, if you're entering this sort of professional space, would that sort of lend itself to, you know, working outside of the erotic or non-erotic space or the audio space that as we know it and what we participate in? Like, would you do that now, you know, professionally, say for something like, I don't know, like for Audible or something like that?
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, this is great to keep myself busy, especially, you know, with the way the world is now. A lot of people are inside more than ever, and myself included. So if I can have the option to work from home, that's great. And you know, it's not an excuse to just sit around and do nothing, right? So I do find myself polishing my craft slowly, you know, even if it's just rote work, but, you know, just keep my skills sharp. But I do learn, you know, every day.
Yeah.
Every time I'll have another problem pop up, I'll have the opportunity to, or a problem, you know, an editing challenge come up, then I find a way around it. I find a way to fix it. And then that adds to my knowledge base. So eventually you know, I want these skills to just keep improving. No one, you know, everyone should strive to keep getting better at what they do.
Oh, making progress and evolving, right? And yeah, yeah, absolutely. With that, I've just started recording narratives, or you know, safer work narratives. And in particular, I'm reading chapters of a book at the moment. And for me, just, I'm thinking, does this require editing in any way? Because obviously there's no sound effects. It's, it's really, it's a simple outright narration. But I'm already thinking, how do I make this better? How do I, and it's not about my reading of it, that the technically, it's more the technical aspect of it. It does it require something? And actually, I might flick it to you. I might flick you a little sample. and I'd love your opinion on that, because for me, and the voice acting, or again, use that term loosely, I am sort of branching out into different platforms and different genres, not just, you know, related to erotic or non-erotic content. So with that, yeah, I am keen to know what an editor's perspective would be, and how it would be different as opposed to, you know, the content that we, that you and I have created together in the past.
Well, in my experience, you'd want as clean a take as possible. So like you said, there's no sound effects. So what you want is to try and get your voice and just your voice.
Yeah.
And it might be as far as simple as just, you know, editing out a bit of background noise. Obviously we can all have access to like actual soundproof recording spaces, but as close as you can get to having no noise in the background. And from a reading perspective, maybe just try and do things like limit the number of breaths that are audible on the microphone, or you know, lip or swallow or saliva.
Sure, mouth sounds and mouth pacing sounds and and intonation and all of that sort of thing, I guess.
So just something to keep in mind. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm quite fascinated.
But what you'd be striving for, yeah, would be just your voice as clean and consistent as possible.
Yeah. Well, that's it's something I'm looking forward to exploring, but yes, I may need to engage an editor if it does sort of go down that term used loosely, semi-professional space. What I love about this particular space and subreddits the likes of GWA and others is that there's such a wide range of production level out there, from people who are using their phone and not editing, i.e. me, when I first started, and through to people, like you said, who do have, you know, sound booths or a dedicated recording space and are engaging, you know, editors themselves. But there's a spot for everybody, right? I wonder then, are you going to focus, or are you predicting that the people who will engage your skills and your services that you're offering would be more likely to be those who are being paid? Or I don't know, I'm just wondering about who would approach you and pay for them.
For sure, it's I think mostly, like I said, if it's just at a hobbyist stage for someone, they would more than likely be okay with, you know, having a bit of hissing in the background, or you know, just like you said, very casual phone stuff. But you know, people who are definitely seeing some sort of dividend from their VA work, I think are probably that demographic, right? Like if you're anything like me, I'm always very stingy when it comes to myself. I'll be the first to offer to pay for drinks, but like if it's like, do I want to pay you know, $1.99 for this little widget or something that'll really make my life a lot easier and I can use forever, I'll kind of have to think about it. What else could I spend that money on? You know, but for sure, if from the people that I've spoke to, other VAs who are slowly getting into paid work as well, one of their reasons for wanting to, you know, not do free scripts posted on Reddit for free. One of the reasons to want to get paid is specifically to spread that money to the script writers, to the editors, to even people who like digital, what do you call it? Digital architects, I don't know, people who, programmers who can make, you know, custom recording platforms for other VAs and for the VA themselves to post on. Like, you know, we're all intimately familiar with Soundgasm. But I know a lot of VAs are looking for something a little different or a little more or whatnot. Soundgasm is great. It's free. It always has been. That's, we need that kind of stuff. But there are people who, you know, you do get what you pay for. And there are people who want to pay a premium for something that is a bit more refined, that is a bit more, I don't know, just a bit more manufactured. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I strongly believe that there should be always free resources for people. And I mean, Audacity is free. You know, you're already paying for internet, for electricity, right? So it's like these free resources, you know, they're not quote unquote free, right? You still need to have a computer to use them and have internet. So, definitely, if you have the money and if you're willing to pay for it, there will always be somebody there to offer you a service. And it really is, it just sort of changes the nature of the interactions as well. A lot of people don't know that, but like, you know, if you're doing something for free, you're not beholden to anybody. You know, you can do things on your own terms. If someone says, oh, I want this, or oh, I didn't like this, you can say, well, you know, go kick rocks, fella, because I'm doing this for free. But, you know, when you pay for someone, you get that ability, and the other party too, if they're accepting money, sort of has a responsibility as well to give you what your money is paying for. And so you get that kind of more hands-on, more in-depth, more control over whatever it is you're wanting to do. So I do think that is something that, you know, like you said, people that want to elevate into a professional or semi-professional sphere would invest in.
Yeah, absolutely. I do see, for me, it's I'm investing in myself as well and the content, but and at the same time, helping to support other, you know, other creators, contributors in this space. So being able to, like, I haven't got, I think I've got four custom audios to create at the moment, and I know I may well need to call on the services of a scriptwriter, just for time wise and to get them out in a timely manner. And I don't mind investing because I'm generating an income out of it. People have paid for them, but also factored into that is, you know, I'm about to update my custom audio order form to, you know, say that if you want editing on some sort of level or on a more significant level, it's available, and then have my two or three go-to or whoever editors that I use regularly to, you know, and then it supports them. So it's I don't know, I guess it's being part of that community, but also realizing that I need to invest in this to produce the best that I can behind a paywall.
You've got to invest something. If it's if it's not money, it's going to be time, and money is basically just an extension of your time, right?
So absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't be, I don't believe I would be where I am today without having invested in a proper microphone and having invested in, you know, creating a soundproof. No, I don't think it's soundproof, clearly, because I can hear my dog sometimes. It's but having a dedicated space even to, you know, and investing, like, a just being able to fund a new MacBook, like, good Lord, you know, because mine was failing. But it blows my mind to see how far you can come. But it, like you said, it always comes down to an investment, whether it be money or time. And it has been time for me, essentially. But to see some return on it is immensely satisfying, and I guess for the people
and being able to pay it forward to other people in the community, for sure.
Absolutely. And in doing that, you know, part of that for me is doing these chats and having these chats with people, so that not only the listeners, we're all listeners, right? But the entire community can get some sort of insight into the background and what does go on behind the mic, behind, you know, in the editing suite and, you know, on the Mac. It's whilst a lot of it is free content, there is still an investment in there, from a group, you know, more often I would find. And I love it. I absolutely love it. It's not, because I've always thought if it becomes work, then I need to reassess.
Yeah.
There has been a moment recently where I was like, at the end of No Nut November, I was like, oh my God, I can't do this, because I was putting out an audio a day. I was like, I can't do this. I'm exhausted and none of them are giving in. So I just thought, I'm not doing this. I need a break. But yeah, I was determined, very determined, listeners. I did a couple failed though, so I was kind of quietly smug about that. Just the whole thing. I love the space, but yes, like you, I think there's only benefit in paying it forward, and supporting other creators in this space. So, Asterion, thank you for what you contribute to the space, because you've elevated my own projects beyond to a space that I was like, I still am in awe of, you know, those few collabs we did together.
It's my pleasure.
Well,
truly,
yeah, I'm glad you still have that passion for it. And like I said, I'm really excited to see where you'll go and where this will take you. So if you would like to engage Asterion services, there will be a link on the subreddit post. There are some places that I'm unable to post links, but the subreddit r/getinmyears will have all links available for people to explore, you know, what you have on offer. So
excellent.
Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, very much. I'll send you that narration thing, maybe.
I'll send you my rates.
Yes. Yeah. God, There you go. Thank you so much, Asterion. I look forward to seeing you in the wild.
See ya.